Good morning, everyone. It's always good to see everyone in church. It's an amazing thing and a great opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God to us this morning. But God has already started to move in our midst this morning. Some of the words that have come out that they've shared is all about the work of God, basically what I'm going to talk about today. Josiah was talking about the fact that, actually Tony was saying that we need revival and we pray for revival in the land. But revival starts with us. It starts with our heart. God works that way. So we got to open ourselves ready for God to use us to do His very will here. So this morning, we're still in the book of Jonah. We are in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And this morning, we're going to see something of the character of God. And it's comforting for us to see that. We will see that God is a God who is a merciful God and is a God also of second chances. So I'm going to start by asking us a question or two. So who here has probably desired to do something but decided against it for whatsoever reason? I know I have. What about cutting somebody's slack and giving them a second chance, somebody who's wronged you in the past? Have you been able to do that in the past? The truth is, we all mess up. We're human. We mess up sometimes, whether we admit it or not. And indeed, we are all in need of a second chance. After all, we have to always remember that we're human. It takes only the Spirit of God to help us not to mess up. So we, as children of God, we are ever so encouraged from the Word of God to lean on the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We need the Holy Spirit more than ever. So as we continue on this series on Jonah, we will see that God giving Jonah a second chance to go to Nineveh. So let's get into this chapter and let's read from verse 1. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, "For 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. What an amazing God. Shall we pray? Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word and for us to hear from your throne. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts. Lord, that we would respond even to your word, that we would lean on the Holy Spirit and listen to what the Spirit is saying to us personally, individually, and collectively at the church, and that we would turn and do that which you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name. So we have seen in the previous chapters of this book of Jonah, where God called Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah had a different plan. Sounds familiar? Jonah had a different plan because he knew what God was like. He knew that God is a merciful God. He knew that God is slow to anger, abounding in love. He had just experienced it himself. But his experience did not sway his emotional feelings towards the people of Nineveh. He believed that Nineveh should be punished for all his atrocities. And we can be like that sometimes. The interesting thing is, if we, like Jonah, reason with Jonah, we probably agree that he had a reasonable reason to have disobeyed God. If you think about all that Nineveh had done. But there is a lesson for us to be learned here. The lesson for us is that at every step in our relationship with God, faith is always required. And that's faith and trust, faith and trust in God. We should trust God enough to know that if we are certain and we have cleared it that God is calling us to do certain things, then we'd better get on with it. Even if it doesn't make sense to us or we do not agree with it. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust that God sees what we don't see and he knows what we do not know. Therefore, he knows what he's doing at every given time. It helps to remind ourselves that all that we now have with him came about because we first believed in him. And that relationship that we have with him can only continue to be sustained by faith in him. So we should trust him enough. And that's what Jonah should have done in the first instance as well. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And because anyone who comes to the Lord must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Obedience is a big deal with God. And we can see this in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible put it, that he was obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. And that God raised him back to life and sat him above all principalities and all powers. And at the mention of his name, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Another great example that's there when it comes to obedience in the Bible is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now you can imagine a single young virgin lady cutting the man of his life and then suddenly had a divine visitation. And the angel Gabriel said to her, "You are going to bear the Son of God." Now this is a lady that has not been with any man or known any man. And you can imagine the first thing she said was, "How would this be?" What a great faith. Because I'm sure some other people are saying, "What are you talking about? Me? No. Why don't you try Ambleba? Ambleba knows what she knows. She knows something about this." That might be some other people's response. But our response was, how would it be? And then after all said by the angel, what she said is, "Be it unto me according to your word." What great faith. She is such an incredible woman. No wonder she was chosen. And that is not it. From the abundance of her heart, the faith that she had in God, she also proclaimed when at the wedding in Galilee that the wine ran out, he called unto the servants and he said, "Go to the Lord. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Don't ask questions." Because she had so much faith in God. But for the great prophet Jonah, it took him 2 bites at it before he obeyed. So at the second time of asking, Jonah proceeded to Nineveh. Sometimes I ask myself that what if Jonah had not had that experience he had after disobeying God the first time? Would he have obeyed the second time? Well, I don't think so. Because I believe experiences shape us. They help us to actually do better. And that's why sometimes God takes us through some experience or experiences for us to be able to learn some things and be better. So when God allows us to sometimes go through certain things that might not be palatable, there just might be a justified reason that we might not be privy to at the time of occurrence. Perhaps that's why we have some verses in the Bible, like Romans 8:28, that reminds us that, and we know that all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Or James 1:2-3, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So what was the message that was given to Jonah? Nothing new. The same message that has been given to us. To proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And turn people from their wicked ways to God. It is the same message. And like Jonah, we might be confronted with a seemingly difficult task of witnessing to people we really don't want to witness to, for reasons best known to us. It helps to remind ourselves. Double portion. Thank you. It helps to remind ourselves that when we are faced with such a dilemma, who the sender is, when we're faced with such a dilemma, we should remind ourselves who the sender is. And I'm not even talking about the powerful or awesome God is, which, obviously, that is enough for anybody to actually obey God. But all I'm saying is that we need to remind ourselves who the sender is, and therefore, who deserves our obedience, the sender or the receiver. For example, when our earthly parents give us an errand, we focus on completing the task, not on who the recipient is. Our focus is, my father sent me, therefore I'm doing it. It doesn't matter who he sent me to. I trust my father enough. And so when God sends us, that's what our focus should be, not who is going to receive it. Because sometimes we're so focused on, oh, how would they respond? How would they? Well, what if? I'm not sure. We forget what the sender is. Sometimes we overthink it. We overanalyze what we need to say. Then when all that is needed is simple truth. Just share your story. Tell of what you know and whatever you've experienced as well. And leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if we think we might not get it or how they might respond. That is for the Holy Spirit to work in them. So to Jonah's surprise, Nineveh believed the word of God and repented in their evil ways, from the low in the society to the mighty. Even the king also heard the message and not only humbled himself and repented, but declared a fast and prayer for the whole city. And so often than not, I am always, always surprised when I see God move in this way, when I'm not expecting him to move in that at all. But we shouldn't. We should always remember that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Even though Jonah's message was short, it wasn't sweet. There was an indication in that message, obviously, indication of forgiveness in the message. But it wasn't the main push. What Jonah predicted and would have loved to see was the destruction and the overthrown of Nineveh. Because if we remember, his message was, for 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. He wanted to see that. But he wasn't even saying Nineveh might be overthrown. It was like Nineveh will be overthrown. This was a preach that Jonah did with glee and not tears. He couldn't wait for God's wrath to fall on them, even though he himself had just received and experienced the mercy of God. And you would have thought he should know better. Because the first time, you know, you remember he was swallowed by the big fish. So he experienced the mercy of God. But he should have thought about that. But sometimes we are all like that too. We forget that we are once sinners. We are quick to forget that. And that we do not deserve all that we have right now, but for his grace and for his mercy over us. We are ever so quick to judge other people, to judge unbelievers, forgetting that we are once like them. We suddenly become holier than thou. But if we think back, we realize we're all sinners. Like, I can't remember the song now that was sung, a bit contradictory song, but it was it, we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but didn't stay there and got up. We forget that sometimes. That we all started from that very place. And for the mercy of God, that's where we are standing today. So everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter the background, no matter the color, it doesn't matter. God loves everyone. And we should, as children of God, love them. And we be willing to talk to them, to take them in, to tell them about the grace and the mercy of God. But if one truly look at Nineveh with the natural human eye, it does feel like that is what indeed deserving of that city. Because Nineveh was a violent city. It was a pagan city. It was a rebellious city that had terrorized the neighboring cities and done all sorts of atrocities. But instead, God responded with mercy. When he examined their deeds and saw how they forsook their evil ways, he relented on the disaster that was coming their way because of their evil deeds. God saw their heart. God saw their heart turned. And God relented on what he planned to do initially. So God's desire is always restoration, not destruction. God would love to see everyone saved. That's why Jesus died. He said, for God so loved the world. Not because for Jesus so loved Oriola. No. For Jesus so loved the world, everyone included, that God sent his son. So Jesus died for every single one. Even that worst sinner that you know about, that you think, no, this one, I don't think can ever be saved. God died for him or her. Although historians have pointed out that about the time of Jonah's mission, when Jonah was running away from God, playing in the fish belly for 3 days, and was generally disobeying God's word, what he didn't realize was that God was already at work in the lives of the Nineveh. He was working things out for Jonah's good, because it was said that during that period, Assyria experienced a series of famines, of plagues, revolts, and eclipses, all of which were seen as omens of far worse things to come, which, unbeknown to Jonah, has softened the ground for the message he was bringing. And this is also a reminder to us, even as we step out in faith, to spread the good news to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to our friends, family members, or whosoever, that repentance is always a work of God. It's not the things we do. So that was why it was easy. It seemed easy to Jonah when he came and then he delivered the message and heart turned. God had already started the work that he was not aware of. 2 Timothy 2:25 makes this clear. It says, Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So gentleness is needed on our part. Even if you do not agree with what they do. But remember, God loves them. And therefore, we love them too. And therefore, we want them saved. And therefore, we got to find a way, a loving way, to pass the message on to them. Even though in this passage that we read, Nineveh believed God, that's what he said in the passage, there was no indication that Nineveh came into a covenant relationship with God. Because there was no mention of Nineveh forsaking their gods and idols or offering sacrifice to the Lord or being circumcised, as was the custom then of anyone who puts his or her trust in God. But Nineveh believed God enough to repent of their evil ways, and they called on him and turned over a new leaf, which is always a good starting point. Repentance, it is powerful. It's a powerful thing because it is visible. It is not emotion alone. It is action. It's not yes, yes, okay, I changed my way, just word of mouth, and that's it. No. Repentance, true repentance, is action. Like it was visible of Jonah, who acted and turned to go to Nineveh, and of Ninevites, who wore sackcloth and turned from their evil ways. True repentance will always lead to a change in behavior, a change in priorities, a change of posture, and a change of direction. So true repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry, but is evidence in change of action. What this story of Nineveh teaches us is that no city, no family, no person is beyond God, is beyond God's reach. Absolutely none. So no matter how far someone may have gone, God can forgive. God can restore. And God can rewrite your story. Isaiah 42 verse 3 says, a bruised reed it will not break. A smoldering wick it will not snuff off. In faithfulness it will bring forth justice. So God does not give up on anyone, and he will not give up on you. God gives second chances, like he gave to Jonah and to Nineveh. He also gives third and fourth and as many as you need. That is the God that we serve. But that doesn't give us the liberty to take God for granted. Because all he asks and he wants of us is obedience. And we know that obedience from us unlocks divine possibilities. I've seen it in my life, and I'm sure you've probably seen it too as well. Divine possibilities, things you never thought would happen. If you take my story, for example, if I wasn't given a second chance, I wouldn't be here. Absolutely not. But because God gave me a second chance, that's why I can stand before you today. Because I was headed for doom. If it was like, well, that's the way it is, that's the way I live my life, no second chance, no. But God saw me, and he had mercy on me. What an amazing God we serve. And repentance is one of the things that moves the heart of God. When people turn and repent, God responds. Just like he did for Jonah and Nineveh, he is willing to do for anyone who is ready to repent and make that U-turn today. As was said last week, God's mercy is greater than his judgment. He delights in saving, not destroying. So what is it that God is calling you to do again? It might be for a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time. You know you've been putting it off, but God is saying, here I am again, I'm still calling you on to that. Doesn't matter how many times you've disappointed God. He's saying this is another chance for you today. Or is there an assignment that has been abandoned? A ministry you've been running away from? A step of faith you've delayed? Will you obey now? even if it's uncomfortable. Obedience may stretch us, but it will always be a blessing to us and to others. Or could it be that God is inviting you to repent? Repent of certain habits, certain ways of thinking? Repentance is not weakness. It is the doorway to renewal, to a fresh start, to greater opportunities. The God of Jonah is still the God of today. He is the God of second chances, fresh starts, transformed cities, and is ready to do that today. If the band can please come up. As the band come up, they're going to play a song. And as they start to play, if you believe God has been speaking to you this morning, to pick that thing, you know whatever that thing is, up again. Or to come back home like the prodigal son. Or to repent of certain behaviors or habits. Today is the day. If you can come to the front, there are people here that are ready to pray along with you. Let's pray with one another. If the prayer team as well can come up, so whatever it is, you know in your heart what God has been calling you to. That which you've turned your back to and thought, well, you know what, no. Or that you've given up on. But you know deeply that God has called you to that. Let's pray together. Let's commit it to Him. Let's have Him turn our life around again and do the beautiful thing that only Him can do.